dollars available, and it's a max for project of $1 million. I'm sorry, I think I missaid that. $3.1 million available. $1 million is the max, and then a minimum project is $250,000. And again, these projects can fund sidewalks, bicycle facilities, pedestrian bicycle signals, lighting, safety improvements for non-motorized users. And as a reminder, these funds will be available July 1st, 2024. So just a timeline for where we are and where we've been for this year's cycle. We kicked off the program on October 15th, 2020, and had our application workshop on October 27th, 2020. We did require pre-application meetings this year, and they were held between November and January. And then we had an application deadline of February 26th. So we are here today for the BTPAC ranking. And after today, the draft priority list is going to go to the committees and board, and that is scheduled for July 2021. And then, of course, after it is approved by the board, we send the final project priorities to FDOT, and that will be on July 28th that we send it over. This is just the scoring that we had adopted for this year. You all should have a copy of this in front of you. It was all, if you are here in person, if not, it was part of the backup and it is on our website. And we will, I'm sure, see this again today. Again, just a reminder of our non-motorized facilities that we do have and fund: shared use paths, separated bike lanes, two-way cycle tracks, raised bike lanes, buffered bike lanes, designated. We do not give points in the scoring for undesignated bike lanes, sharrows, or unpaved trails, but we do award points for unpaved paths, pathways, and sidewalks. And again, this was all part of the adopted 2020 scoring or 2021 scoring. And that is my brief overview. So we did provide the 2021 TA program overview scoring criteria and transportation alternative project scores in the agenda packet. We will have the 2021 applicants provide a 10-minute presentation as outlined in the agenda, followed by a five-minute session for questions and answers. And then after presentations have concluded, the BTPAC members will discuss and vote to either one, recommend adoption of the 2021 TA program project application rankings with the TPA staff's ranking, or alternatively, recommend adoption of the 2021 TA program project application rankings as reordered by the BTPAC members. So,
are there any committee questions before we start with our first presentation? Well,
I was gonna say, I don't have any virtual hands raised.
The handout sheet says that there's 3.3 million available and the PowerPoint 3.1, which is correct.
You are correct. It's 3.3 million. I need to update the PowerPoint.
Okay. So that's exciting. The shortfall is only about 250,000.
Yes. So this year, since there are only four projects that we will be hearing presentations from, the shortfall is, as Jean mentioned, just above $250,000. So we will be able to mostly fund all of the projects, as you will see. So it is exciting.
Okay. Are we ready? I need a motion to
Madam Chair, we can move forward with our first presentation. I believe we do have Boca Raton. I know we are a little bit ahead of schedule, but I believe Boca Raton is on the line, and if they're ready to go, we can move forward with that first presentation.
Perfect. Thank you. Do we know who's
presenting? Yeah. Okay, we're ready. My name is Tracy Phelps. I work with the City of Boca Raton Traffic Engineering Division. And also online is Maria Tejera, our City of Boca Traffic Engineer. And we're here to present a proposal to provide lighting on a portion of the El Rio Trail. The El Rio Trail is a multi-use trail. It's about 5 to 6 miles long. And our proposal is to In this phase, they provide lighting for approximately half of it. The section of lighting that we are proposing includes access to FAU and the City of Boca Tri-Rail. And it is from Glades Road to Yamato Road, to just north of Yamato Road. Some of the benefits of lighting the LBL trail would be extended use hours. Right now, the trail is only allowed to be used from dusk to dawn. And with those extended hours, increased use, safety and security, mobility, avoiding certain environmental conditions, and there's economic and health benefits also. Some of the safety benefits is if you open the trail for nighttime use, some of the safety benefits is reduction of a user collision walker bicyclist with each other, with objects, with wildlife, and just being able to see any pavement deformities or unevenness in the trail. Security. Lighting is generally recognized as a deterrent to criminal activity. And the general feeling is there's a general feeling of being more secure when streets or trails are lighted. Even though we're a traffic engineering division, we get a lot of complaints about streetlights being out and people complaining that they don't feel safe walking on streets. So just lighting provides that general secure feeling that you're more secure. The extended hours allows the trail to open early in the morning and close late in the evening. This is important. It allows users to avoid the heat and humidity of the South Florida six-month summer, which is a very good thing. Allows users to access the trail outside normal daytime work and school hours, and also increases opportunity for community involvement and events. For those who don't like events at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon in the middle of July. Some of the health benefits is with longer hours and hours open during the evening, cooler times, you get more walking, more running, more biking activities, just more exercise altogether. And that equals a healthier, more focused and together community. Economic benefits is possibility for increased ridership for Tri-Rail, since this lighting and trail does connect to Tri-Rail. And it makes TOD become more attractive, the fact that there's a nice walking path, nice bicycles, and it is hooked up to the Tri-Rail. Mobility, 60% of bicycle fatalities usually occur after dark. So providing lights on the trail would hopefully get bicyclists off the roads and on the trail, more pedestrians walking along the trail instead of at crosswalks and intersections. And again, as we're providing, the trail provides a connection to Tri-Rail. So we're hoping to get more riders onto Tri-Rail. FAU students go into a football, basketball game at nighttime or a late class. They, with a lighted trail, they could walk on the trail, ride their bike on the trail up to the Tri-Rail and get on the train and head home. Just some project engineering basics. It's approximately 2.3 miles from Glades Road to Yamato Road. The portion of the trail we would like to light. In original design, there's two load centers, 121 light poles. We are providing lights under the bridges under I-95, some of the ramp bridges, and the bridge under Yamato Road. Those underpasses are very dark in the daytime, so they can be quite scary if you wanted to use during the evening. then approximately 1,400 feet of conduit. This is just a typical section showing the proposed trail, the lighting. It'd be somewhere 4 foot, 2 to 4 to 6 foot from the edge of the trail. We don't foresee having any problems with any environmental problems or any destruction of trees or shrubs. We can be very, our design can move the lighting around to avoid things like that. We don't foresee any problem with any type of wildlife. One of the main animals is the gopher tortoise, who hangs out around the trail, and we wouldn't foresee any problems with the gopher tortoises and their burrows by constructing this lighting system. And there's just a little sketch plan. We're starting at Glades Road and going along the trail, crossing 20th Street. This gives a great access to FAU right here. Continuing along the trail, there is a male elementary school south of Northwest 5th Avenue in this area. If there were kids that would want to walk to school from surrounding development, that would make it a lot safer having lighting. And here's the north portion going under the ramps of I-95 and I-95. It goes under the railroad, and then goes under Yamato Road, and just north and ends north of Yamato Road, and does provide a connection. There is a connection there right here. There's a bridge and connection. We do provide lighting over right by the bridge to go to the trail. The existing you can see under the red zone under I-95, it's very dark even during the daytime. And as you can see in the other picture, there's no lighting around most areas of the trail. Some of the concepts we're looking at, we could do power generated solar. An interesting comment is to do, as shown in this picture here, where the lights will be dimmed until it sees a motion of a person or a bicyclist, and then it gets brighter. And then once the person leaves the actual motion zone, it will go back to be a dimmer light. And also provide a picture of just a typical under deck light, which we would provide underneath the underpasses or overpasses. The actual construction cost is around $975,000. All these other costs were required to be added to the cost. And the estimated cost with all the other costs came up to about $1.423 million. I think my time's almost up, so we can take some questions.
So, Madam Chair, I do have hands raised virtually, and I do have tent cards. So I have Michael Owens, Joanna Peluso virtually, and I have Jean Matthews and Brian Ruscher in person. So I don't know if you want to do in person, then virtual, or
the way you call them out sounds okay. Good.
So Michael Owens first.
Yes. Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for the presentation. Just a quick question. You mentioned that the trail goes by a school, but you mean the A.D. Henderson School on FAU, correct?
The A.D. Henderson School, that's one. That's one of them. I was actually talking about J.C. Elementary School.
Yeah, I was thinking about J.C. Mitchell. It's close in proximity, but the trail is actually on the west side of the canal, right?
It is on the west side.
Oh, no, because I know you were saying something about the kids walking in access. I just didn't see. I thought you meant the A.D. Henderson School because it's contiguous to the trail as opposed to being separated by a water body. I thought you were thinking about J.C. Mitchell, and so I was just looking at it on the map. I was just curious if which one you meant, because I know you were talking about students being able to avail themselves of usage of the trail, but I assumed it was A.D. Henderson, but I was curious.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I have Joanna Peluso.
Thanks so much for the presentation. I'm just curious as well. Do you have a sense of what the current usage at night is right now without the lights?
The signage on the trail says it's only open from dusk to dawn. So what I assume, I'm just making an assumption that it's probably, since you're not allowed. The other signage there, it says it's not open at that time. So I assume it's not very much.
And do you have plans, like an event planned or an engagement strategy planned for how you'll advertise to the local community that the trail is going to be lit?
I would think we would do some type of public hearing, because we would like to get their ideas also, see how if they would have if they have any good ideas. One thing we don't want to do is there's only really one bat location, and that's right before Spanish River where there's any really residential development near the trail. We don't want to light it up to where it might be going bothering residents, but we would definitely look for their input, and I would think it would be some type of public involvement with that.
Okay, then I have Jane followed by Brian.
Hi, I walk all the time at the Boca Library and in that natural area, and I know it connects to the trail and I see a lot of activity. In fact, one of our planners used to take Tri-Rail, then get on the El Rio to get to FAU, and he liked it because it's off-road and he felt safe. So I know it's very heavily used. When these lights are done, will the trail be open 24 hours a day?
That decision has not been made. That would be a decision we would have with our city management and with the police force. I was thinking more of something like 5 or 6 in the morning to 11 or 12 at night. But that's not set in stone. We would just need to have the conversations with our public safety people to make sure that they have the manpower to provide any enforcement that might be needed during those late night hours, or early morning hours.
Thank you.
Excuse me, can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Maria.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I couldn't. Something is wrong with my computer, so I'm on my telephone. I'm very sorry. You were asking, okay, I'm just listening to the questions, the one about public communication. We have a very good communications in the city. We have the next door application where pretty much everyone gets to know what is happening. We also have Facebook, and this will be highly advertised. In addition to that, next Tuesday, this resolution is going to council for approval. So at that time, also the residents will have an opportunity to understand the concept of this project. Regarding the night, the use of the trail at night, I agree with Tracy. At this time, those details have not been discussed. But the idea is that anyone, I've been there at night, in Boca going home, and I see people bicycling on the next to the road, and to me it's very unsafe. I know that there is bicycle lanes and everything, but people at night, they are not really paying attention. They are not expecting a biker there. So it is an opportunity for some of the people that are working at night to have a way to get back home that is a lot safer. We will discuss all of those items if we get the grant and as we work towards the design of the project. But all of that will be worked out. I'm done.
Just a couple other things. I've been reading a lot about gym memberships going down. Even memberships to gyms were going down even before the COVID hit. And now they're even going down further. People, if gyms are going to start closing, and I'm not saying they are, just some of the stories, people need places to exercise. And people like me, I don't like to exercise at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I like in the middle of July. I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's still cool. I don't like the hot Florida sun. So we want to provide people the opportunity to have events when it's cooler, or to be able to get out in January when it gets dark at 5:30, to be able to come home from work and go out for a walk on the trail after work.
Brian.
Thank you, Maria and Tracy, for presenting. I just have a couple of quick questions. Do you know of any counts for the trail when it is open? And do you have, I don't like to use crash statistics as the only metrics for safety, but in this instance, do you have any instances of where crashes have been reported, documented, or is it mostly anecdotal? Thank you.
Yeah, it's mostly anecdotal. I will tell you the main trail crossings that we have over this section is Spanish River, and that has the flashing beacons, RRFBs, at that crossing. The crossing at Yamato goes under the bridge, and there is no crossing at Glades. The only place for any type of accidents on the trail at night, the worst place would be Spanish River and crossing Spanish River. But again, that is it has an RRFB there. So it's as safe as it could be without a some type of signalization.
And to answer your question, we do not have the information. We do not have information specific as to the trail, the amount of users or accidents. We don't have that.
Okay, thank you.
We don't have that, but it's common knowledge that Florida is one of the worst states when it comes to pedestrian accidents with pedestrians and vehicles.
Yes, thank you.
Anybody else, Margie?
I don't have any other virtual hands raised and no more in-person questions either, unless you have some, Madam Chair.
No, I don't have any questions. Thank you.
Actually, Margie, this is David. I tried to raise my hand 3 times. I guess
it didn't work. Oh, I'm sorry, David. I didn't see it virtually. I'm so sorry. So that's David has a question.
Okay. You had mentioned the inclusion of solar lighting. I was just a little interested in that. Is it more expensive, less expensive? What's the long-term maintenance consideration for it?
The solar, we did on our plan and our estimate, we did it as power generated with 2 load centers. If we start running into problems when we get into really designing it, that is with the running of conduit and our electrical wire, that's when solar really would become an alternative.
David, to be honest, at this time, this is very preliminary. We haven't really evaluated all the options that we will have. At this time, we're just trying to just see if this project will be funded, and then we will definitely go into all the details to determine what is better, what is not going to work. We have had some issues before with the solar lighting, because even though we thought that this was the great solution, we found out with time that as you get trees and landscape and things like that, then the solar light is not working. So we have a lot of considerations that we will need to consider before we even go that route. But all of that will be analyzed during, actually prior to the design.
Okay, yeah, I understand it's an evolving technology, and I know there are problems with it, but I'm very interested. If you would go forward with something like that, I'd certainly follow it. Okay, that's my question. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anytime.
There anybody else on the committee who has questions?
I'm just going to tab through just in case someone's physically raising their hand. I don't see any hands raised, Madam Chair.
Speak up if you do. All right. Shall we go to the next presentation? That is the City of Palm Beach Gardens.
I believe they are on the line. I have Natalie and Peter.
Yes, and if it's okay, I will give the presentation to the fellow board members.
Sorry, so Joanne, you'll do the presentation? Okay, so we'll have staff give you control and then you can just click to accept and use your arrow keys to move the slides.
Perfect. Okay, so good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for allowing me to present to you today. It's my pleasure to present the City of Palm Beach Gardens Burns Road separated two-way bicycle track. Okay, so the project limits are on Burns Road, which is a city-owned road from Military Trail to alternate A1A. This right-of-way was acquired from Palm Beach County in 1981, and it currently exists as a four-lane divided road with a six-foot-wide sidewalk on each side. And the right-of-way width varies quite a bit in this section from 80 to 100 feet, and there are currently no bicycle facility improvements that exist on the roadway. This slide shows a little location map, so you can see Military Trail, which bounds the project on the west side, and then alternate A1A is the eastern boundary, and the two-way bicycle track would be on the south side of the roadway. And we prepared a little community map to show just all of the community resources that are in close proximity to the proposed project. So this yellow circumference, the circle shows all of the facilities. So we have the Weiss School, which is immediately adjacent, as well as many city facilities. We have the Gardens Park baseball fields on the north side, Burns Road Recreation Center and Lakeside Center on the south side, and many city parks that are also in close proximity. We also have several schools, such as Palm Beach Gardens High School and Palm Beach Gardens Elementary within close proximity. St. Mark's School is also within close proximity, as well as Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, and many other schools, library, future train station is within 1 mile for the either Brightline or Tri-Rail Coastal Link Station. That planned location is within the 1 mile radius. And then if you zoom out to the 2 mile radius, you see many more schools. We have downtown Palm Beach Gardens, which is significant retail and shopping and restaurant destination, as well as the Gardens Mall, and including the Gardens Mall bus hub. And I do want to say that within the 1 mile radius, we have our city facilities, and there are many city events that take place immediately adjacent to the proposed cycle track, including the city's weekly green market, as well as sports tournaments and other types of related events. And we also have the city's North County District Park, which is within the 2 mile radius, and also many events occur at those locations as well. And then this last slide shows the 3 mile radius for which there are some points afforded for bicycle facilities. We do have PJ National Park within 3 miles, Mirasol Park, and also many other, you know, local facilities as well. So the proposed project is a separated 9.5 foot wide two-way bicycle track on the south side with a 1.5 foot wide raised concrete separator. The existing lanes can be narrowed, so all this the entire project can fit within the existing right-of-way. Because the right-of-way varies so much in this section, we prepared a few sample cross-sections. So this is Burns Road as it exists as an 80-foot cross-section. We have two lanes going westbound and then two lanes going eastbound. Here on the south side is where we would include the two-way cycle track. And you can see how the lanes will be narrowed and then the 1.5 foot separator. And then in the 100-foot section, we also have two lanes going westbound and then three lanes, actually two lanes and two through lanes and one turn lane going eastbound. And those lanes can be adjusted to accommodate the cycle track within the existing right-of-way and I believe the curbing as well. Here are some photos of the existing conditions. These photos show the south side of the roadway, which is where the cycle track would be constructed. And it would go under the existing I-95 overpass with no modifications to that. The city engineer has prepared a cost estimate for the total construction funding of $1 million. With the local funding component of $261,610 and a total project cost of a little over $1.2 million. This improvement is listed in the city's adopted mobility plan, which was the result of many years of public input and meetings and a lot of community support. So this is one of the projects that was included. It was adopted in the plan. And we also received many letters of support from the local stakeholders, including the White School, which is directly adjacent for this specific project, as well as St. Mark's School, the Palm Beach Gardens Medical Center, and the Palm Beach North Chamber of Commerce. The City Council did pass a resolution of support in March 2021. And with that, I'll conclude my presentation. If there are any questions, I'm happy to answer them. I believe we have Natalie Crowley, Director of Planning and Zoning, as well as Peter Hoffhines, Assistant Director of Planning and Zoning on the line. And I believe our city engineer is on the line for any questions as well.
Todd and Mike are both on.
Todd and Mike Morrow from the City Engineering Department.
So I, in person, I have Jean and Fadi, and then virtually, I don't see any hands raised, but if I'm missing you raising your physical hand, just let us know. So Jean, if you want to start.
Can you show like the 1.5 foot divider? Is that like between, so each side has basically 5 feet and then the 1.5 feet is in the middle or those are on the sides? Do we have a cross section you can show us?
Yeah. Am I able to go back in the PowerPoint?
Yes, you should be able to use your arrow key. So if you hit the left arrow key, you should be able to click back.
The other thing is it looks like there's, you're going to have to relocate telephone poles. And is there enough access under I-95? Getting under 95 east-west is huge to provide safe access that way.
There are some small utility adjustments that have been factored in the cost estimate. I'm sorry, I can't get this slide to move backwards.
Okay, we'll move the slide back for you.
Thank you. But the separator would be on the north side of the two-way cycle track, and it wouldn't be between the two lanes. It would be between the cycle track and the traffic, the vehicular traffic.
Okay, that makes sense to me. That way you protect them from cars.
Is this the slide you were looking for?
That one works also.
Jean, this one?
We also have a rendering on the slide that I think was two.
The rendering like two slides further.
So two slides forward?
Backwards. Oh, whichever way you guys say.
Advance another slide.
I think it's the one with the mobility plan on the cover. It's a concrete separator, right? Yes. So what's proposed? Right there.
There it is. So you can see the two-way cycle track and the concrete separator. This graphic does show the two-way cycle track, I believe, on the north side of the road, but we were able to engineer it to cover the entire section between Military and A1A by including it on the south side of the road. So,
what's the total distance of the project?
I believe it's 0.8 miles. Just under a mile.
So I have Fadi next.
Yeah, Joanna, I like the concept. I just wanted to know, do we have within Palm Beach County a similar facility?
It will certainly be the first one in Palm Beach Gardens.
How about Palm Beach County, do you know?
I can't recall another two-way cycle track in Palm Beach County. I definitely would be interested if any of the fellow board members know of any, but I don't recall one.
You know, the kind of cross section looks great, but how many signalized intersection are you crossing, and what how you're dealing with driveways?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we will have to have cuts in the separator to address driveways, and we are anticipating to maintain the driveways as they currently exist. And there are, I believe, let's see, two signals within the point within the center of the project, and then of course there's signals at Military and A1A as well.
Okay, thank you.
And we do have our city engineer on the line. Todd, feel free to jump in at any time.
So next I have Michael Owens followed by Brian. And Fadi, unless you had more questions, you're good. Okay, so Michael, you're up.
Hey, Joanne, thanks for the presentation. Just a quick question with regards to this. I know you mentioned that there weren't any bike facilities currently in this area. So if you're successful with this particular segment, about a mile segment, do you envision adding to it and down the road? Or, and if so, which way would you go with this? Would it be the A1A side, Military, or both?
Absolutely. Our mobility plan calls for bicycle lanes continuing further down on Burns Road. We would have loved to include that in the scope for this project, but due to the cost constraint of $1 million, we're hoping to start with this section, but we definitely have in the plan to continue the bicycle facilities on the east side of alternate A1A. And there's opportunities to also include bicycle facilities on Military as well as A1A. We would love to do that as well.
Understood. Thank you.
So next, I'm Brian.
Lots of questions. Sorry. Related to what Fadi was saying about the intersections, I think my concern with two-way cycle tracks in urban conditions as they're developed without longer lengths is what happens at the ends. So walk us through at the western edge of your project and at the eastern end of the project. Are these just going to terminate onto a curb ramp? What has the design been thought through to that level of detail? Or is it, ultimately, I know this wants to be extended, but having it kind of end at, what's the logical termini for these?
Absolutely. I think it would be best if our city engineer could jump in on this question, and it might help if we can go to that location map just to show
UT standards.
The project.
So, you want to bring us up to the location map? So, anyway, at Military Trail and Burns Road, there are bike paths on either side there, so we would try to gradually put those into there. The full design is not done, but we would merge those cycle tracks into the existing tracks that exist today on Military Trail. Now there's a community on the west side of Military Trail, so it's a four-way intersection, but it really doesn't. If you want to point to the Military Trail area. So we would merge that cycle track into the track that exists today on Military Trail. And there would be no need to carry it further west because it's just a community on the west side of the Burns Road. Burns Road pretty much terminates at Military Trail.
Okay.
So that's how we would terminate that. Now on the eastern end, it's a little more challenging because we have the railroad tracks and because we do not have any cycle tracks or bike tracks that run along alternate A1A nor running east on Burns. So we were actually had a meeting yesterday about how we were going to try to terminate this. And it may be that we utilize the railroad crossing and widen a particular sidewalk that's there that is a 6-foot sidewalk to possibly a 13-foot sidewalk that would give us a good terminus on the track and give the good cyclists a good area for the cyclists to cross alternate A1A, then ultimately cross Burns Road in that area. So we haven't finally determined the Burns Road Prosperity or alternate A1A yet, but we are working on the solutions to that particular crossing. And like I said, it gets a little more tricky as you cross that railroad and what we're allowed to do with the railroad. And that was just rebuilt last week as part of the double tracking. So we're trying to figure out the exact best way to terminate that.
Okay. Is the section large enough to get your street sweeper through the bike lane?
Yes.
Okay. And I think that's all that I have now. I think the rest would be too design oriented, but I appreciate you getting back on those questions. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I don't see any other hands raised. And again, I don't know if I'm missing anybody virtually. I didn't get a notification. But otherwise, unless you have a question, Madam Chair, there's no other hands raised.
I do have a question. Joanne, on your location map, you show these blue roads. What do those signify?
Yes. Because
I was trying to see how one would get to the train station.
Absolutely. So the blue lines are actually, and if it's okay, I'll share that community map that shows those blue lines. Those are actually Palmtrown routes. So those are not the roadways. Those are existing Palmtrown routes, just to show the existing transit facilities in the area. And if you zoom out.
Okay.
So this shows the area.
On those Palmtrown routes, are there bike facilities on those routes?
It's mixed, I would say. Some do and some don't. Like as Todd mentioned, we do have some bike lanes on Military Trail. They could be improved.
There are some on Military Trail. There's some on US 1. Prosperity Farms has a little bit of one. Campus Drive, we're actually getting ready to put a 12-foot multi-use path on. That'll be done this summer. That is going to connect RCA to PGA, as well as go into the community college and the governmental center over there as well.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I don't see, again, any hands raised or any other tent cards up.
Thank you, guys, for the presentation.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, everybody.
So I do want to note very quickly, for all the presenters, after your presentation, you do not actually have to stay on. Only the active BTPAC members that are participating in this afternoon's event have to stay on. Thank you.
We want to see it.
All right, so we're doing pretty good. It's 2:22, and the next presentation is Indian Trail Improvement District. We have an in-person presenter.
It's a copy of the presentation. I'll go ahead and get going while he passes those out. I'm Ryan Ruske with RBK Funding. We're the consultant for Indian Trail Improvement District. I have with me today Joe Capra. He is with CapTech and is the district engineer, as well as Scarlett Cantley. She works for the district and she has been the lead on getting the LAP qualifications from FDOT. Just to give a brief background, we've been before you quite a bit over the last couple of years, but recently over the last 12 months or so, the district has been working with FDOT and making sure that they are LAP qualified, that they will be able to be a LAP entity if they're awarded the funds. And Scarlett led the way working with district staff and with the district engineers, along with coordinating with FDOT on making that happen. So that was a big achievement for the district over the last couple months. And Scarlett was instrumental in getting that done. So the project is a 3.5-mile multi-purpose trail with sidewalk expansion too as well, and I will give it over to Joe so he can go over the project specifics.
Thank you, Ryan. Good afternoon, everybody. I will go through my PowerPoint presentation really briefly. I'll be happy to answer any questions as we move forward. Am I going to be advancing this or somebody else? Yeah. Okay. I got to shoot this one. It says later. Okay, I'm good. All right, thank you so much. Again, purpose and benefit, is what we like to try to say on all transportation projects. Of course, increased safety for the pedestrians, hikers, bikers, and the drivers. Certainly, we improve transportation modes to create a better community. Most of this we're going to be talking about today is trails, as well as multi-purpose trails and sidewalks, okay? There is a school along the route, and there are two parks. So, and it's all for non-motorized users is what we're planning on today. Everything that we will be completing will be ADA compliant and meet guidelines. And first of all, I think it's most important to recognize, actually this board allowed the Indian Trails Improvement District to create a mobility plan. And if you haven't seen it, it's very exciting.
I'm sorry, Joe, unless you're speaking directly into the microphone, the virtual attendees cannot hear you.
Okay, got it. So what I'm holding up for the virtual attendants is the mobility plan that the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council helped us prepare. It talks about various modes of transportation, and everything that we have been proposing today and we have been in the past is consistent to what's in this plan. So we are utilizing this plan to the T, and it's rather exciting because it does not only talk about transportation for not only vehicular traffic, but also it talks about and traffic calming for vehicular traffic. It also talks about multi-use paths. It talks about bicyclists and so forth. So there's everything there. There's a little drainage improvements in this program, of course, to think about resiliency and so forth. A very well done plan by the Treasure Coast Regional Planning Council. And again, we have been trying to be consistent with that throughout the whole program that we have for transportation in the district. So going to the first slide, this really just kind of shows you, I'm gonna assume I can use that button there to point to things. Okay, this is just an inset of this area here, which in this yellow here is what we call the TA project. And so we're consistent. Basically, this is a North Lake Boulevard. This is Seminole Pratt Whitney Drive. These are both county facilities. Orange Ave is down in here. And a couple things you don't see, this little green area right there, which is actually the community park, the Acreage Community Park that was just finished. A fantastic park for the community, essentially located and so forth. So we're trying to obviously consider destinations and bringing people from one side of the Indian Trails Improvement District to other parts of the district. So, and also to consider going to these parks and so forth. The next slide, this is a exhibit from the mobility plan. I know it's kind of hard to see from here, but essentially what we're talking about is this area up in here. And what's on that plan is it clearly shows that we are planning on having in that area various trails, sidewalks, traffic calming. And just so you know, this board has approved some major traffic calming improvement programs out there for us in the same area. And so again, we're trying to make it safe, not only for vehicular traffic, but also pedestrian traffic and so forth. And so that's essentially what this depicts. There's various crossings on this diagram. If you look on the left side, you'll see a whole list of things that we are doing as we work in these rights of way. One thing I will point out that this project is being placed in ITID right of way or areas. Also, there's some crossing of county roads, okay? So it's always in a facility that is owned or operated by a municipality, okay? Which in this case is Indian Trails Improvement District. So we're not going to ask for any easements. There are no environmental issues. These are all cleared right-of-ways. So we're not looking for any, we're not trying to impact any of the areas that would be, I just want to make sure we get a couple things up here. We're not looking at impacting any environmental issues. Connectivity is obviously our goal in this program. Next slide. This kind of gets into the description of what we plan on doing. Again, this orangish yellow area is where we're talking about working. The north-south, where the one is shown, is Great View. As you can see from the chart, basically that includes about 1.5 miles from Key Lime to 60th Street within an 80-foot right-of-way. And as I told you earlier, this is a park. Orange Avenue here is actually a county facility, and we're crossing that road. That's 1.5 miles. Basically, what's going to be placed in that area is a 10-foot wide multi-use trail. And currently, there's a 5-foot wide sidewalk in there, asphalt sidewalk, which we are going to expand to an 8-foot wide sidewalk on the opposite side of the road. In a minute, I'll show you the section. The next item to talk about is Key Line, okay? And this is the M Canal here. And basically, we're going from, I'm sorry, the M1 canal here. And we're taking the facilities from this point to the west, and that'll end up at Hall Street. So in a minute, I'll show you why we picked this route for everything. But again, the Key Line Boulevard's 2-mile section, and it's within an 80-foot right-of-way. So the total project length is 3.5 miles, and we are putting pathways on both sides of the road, okay? One more for pedestrian walking and one for a multi-use facility. So let me go through the next slide, which kind of gets into, this kind of shows you the connectivity to several grants that we are applying for, but at the same time, items we have worked on in the past. And I just want to point out, we are in application for an LI grant for this section here, which is 140th Temple. And again, the idea is to connect us from this park that I've told you we'll be working with on the TA grant to a park up here. Basically, that is a park that is the Nicole Holstein Equestrian Park. So the idea is we'll be bringing people right through the middle here to one park here and another park at this location. There is an elementary school in line with the area of number 2. So there is a school also in this alignment. So about this totals, there's a couple other, there's another grant process that we're working for another area over here, but it's a little off the other side of the acreage community park that's out there right now. Another item, this is really just an example of what is out there today. You can see that the Grapevine Boulevard looking north, Grapevineville Boulevard looking south. It's basically a rural cross section. It's got roadside swales, okay? You can see the 5-foot sidewalk on the one side, an asphalt sidewalk. The on the right side of the diagram, you can see the Key Lime Boulevard. Again, one looking east, one looking west. Again, a crowned rural section, asphalt roadway with an asphalt path on one side. Let's see. This is a typical section. The sections, this one here is for Grapeview Boulevard. So that would be the north-south one. You can see we talk about the multi-use path on the, what would be the west side of the road. Again, it's about 10 feet wide. It will include multi-use trail, so it'll be a compacted surface. Which is gravel, and well as base rock, and And we may or may not put sod on it, but the fact of the matter is we wanted to show that option here, and it's on stabilized material. On the what is the east side of the road, there's currently the 5-foot sidewalk, and we are going to be widening it to 8 feet with asphalt. And then to make it look like one sidewalk, we are going to put what we call a micro surfacing. It's a little skin coat that goes on the top so you don't see the separation. Again, in our cost estimates, we have considered the credits and so forth of existing sidewalks that are out there. We're not expecting the grant to pay for those. They'll all be ADA compliant. The notes are on the left. If there's any requirement for trees or anything out there or any trees that are there, we will provide a root barrier to protect the sidewalk. We're not asking for any culverts that are relative to the canal culverts to be paid for this. They'll be paid for with the other funds that the district will be expending on the area. Driveway culverts will be adjusted, and again, they will be compliant with Indian Trail's latest standards. Again, that's something that we'll be handling. And then the second thing is at each of the intersection crosswalks, we hope to have a pattern pavement included in there. So basically people know that they're crossing a roadway and it'll be distinguished pretty well. And then in some areas, as we get close to the intersections, we will consider a bioswale, which is as you can imagine, as I showed you in that section, we'll be narrowing down the existing swale. So we're gonna put a bioswale there, as well as put some split rail fencing to give it an equestrian look and so forth. So that's the kind of ideas that we're putting into the project. And I would go back through this same documentation for the key line proposal, but essentially it's the same one as I described for you for the grape view. So you know that's both of these sections are pretty close to the same section. It has the same nodes. We are asking for the cost estimate. We are asking for $1 million, which is allowed according to the grant, of course. But about, I think we got about close to almost $900,000, a little over $900,000 in construction costs. The district's putting in about a little over $200,000, as well as for the construction cost. The amount with all the other contingencies and soft costs is about $1.5 million. Is what we're predicting this will be. We have already received some letters of support for the project. We have had several public meetings on these issues, both with the district board, board of supervisors. We've also actually gotten recommendations, and we put this out in a newsletter to the members of the public. And on top of that, we also have a resolution in place, which are in these last letters here. That's the last part of the slide. So with that, I probably spoken too much. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any cards? I just would like to say something because Mr. Ted Goodenough is not here and he's visually impaired. We also have people on our virtual that are part of this. So when you said this is where it is, they couldn't see it. So. Okay. I just wanted to let you know. Thankfully, we have these things, I just wanted to remind everybody of that. So I hope everybody read through your packet well. Margie, do we have any hands raised?
I don't see any hands raised. I'm just scrolling through just to make sure I didn't miss anybody. And I don't have any tent cards up.
Margie, this is David. I had a question.
So I have David Willock, Madam Chair.
Go ahead, David.
Okay, thanks for the presentation. I just had a quick question. You had mentioned micro-surfacing. I wasn't familiar with that. Could you please explain that a little bit more?
Yes, it's kind of what we've all learned when we went through the recessions of 2009. We needed several tools in the toolbox to kind of extend the life of our asphalt pavement. So what they have out there now is a thin coat. You spray it down, much like you see the driveway sealer stuff, but it's a little better. It's kind of has an emulsification and actually enhances the life of an asphalt surface, okay? And you know, they're rather thin coats, but they do last. They last about 10 years, and you can put them on the surfaces. And the purpose of that in this case is we felt we would be rejuvenating the existing asphalt sidewalk that is there, as well as it would also kind of make it look like one sidewalk of 8 foot width instead of what is currently a 5 foot sidewalk that we'll be adding another 3 feet to. So it serves two purposes. It enhances the life, the longevity of what's out there. At the same time, it'll make it appear almost like a brand new sidewalk when we're done with it. So it is a it's a product that is being used, like I said, on many municipalities to extend the life of their asphalt sidewalk or asphalt pavement as well as sidewalk. So
I guess it's been tested with bicyclists to make sure that it's not slippery or anything whenever it gets wet.
That's correct. If a bicycle can ride on an asphalt roadway, they can ride on this. There's no slippery, anything more slippery with this than with just riding on an asphalt surface.
Okay. Interesting. Thank you.
Yeah.
Brian wanted to.
Just a quick question. From my understanding of the ITID is that it's a very proud equestrian community. Mm-hmm. Are any of these routes conventionally used by the equestrians groups that are there, or have you gotten feedback from them yet on these trails as proposed? Because we want to make sure we're taking care of that community as well and that they're involved.
Yes, very good question, because to be honest with you, the mobility plan specifically did address equestrian, and that's, if you look on that mobility plan, it does specifically label these as equestrian. Yeah, it's like I said, it was just approved. We've been getting it approved and so forth. But to answer your question, yes, they have been heavily involved with this, and we made sure the surfaces that they will find acceptable here is what we plan on putting. That's why we said a gravel area, because at one time we've talked about other surfaces, and they've told us what they prefer. So that's why we put the surfaces that we see on here.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have any virtual committee members?
I'm hesitating just in case. I don't believe I do have any. I have Jean with her 10 card up.
Quick. So just to clarify, the one side has a 5 foot sidewalk. You're going to make it a micro surfacing. The other side, you're doing a 10 foot pathway. Is that going to be paved or gravel?
It's going to be gravel. It's going to be everything that is underneath a typical road that you would see, like subgrade, base, asphalt. We're building everything's the subgrade, the base, and then we're going to put a hardened gravel surface, which is ADA compliant,
like a shell rock, so the horses can walk along and
that's
not be
exactly
in the road.
Exactly right, and so that, and it is acceptable for ADA purposes too. So I just want you to know we've kind of looked into the research of some of this, and there's different type of surfaces you can. There may be some areas we could put some sod on that, but we're thinking that's an option. We know we have to make it ADA compliant and make it useful for the equestrian users and so forth.
Are the two roads that are proposing to be redone, are they impacted at all by the traffic from Westgate, and how much traffic is on that road, those roads?
Yeah, this, most of the Westlake traffic, I know from the people that are virtual probably can't see this, but that's Westlake, okay? That's down in here, and they're mainly using Seminole Pratt as well as Orange here, okay? They're not pretty much using this area. And I'm not going to say that eventually they could not cut through these areas. And that's why we've mainly put these, if you look at my section, we've put everything up against the right of way is where we place the pathways. But we are trying to make it safe and consider traffic coming for them eventually could be there, okay? Because we not only have, as you know, Westlake here, we have Avenir up in this area. And of course, these people could go back and forth between these areas, and they may cross into these areas. So everything we're doing, as well as in the mobility plan, considered the traffic coming from the outside. The traffic on these roads right now, certainly well under the needs for a two-lane facility, okay? They're not that heavily trafficked right yet. We are anticipating, with all that we're doing, the future influx of traffic that'll come cut through our areas. And so that's why we're putting in a lot of traffic calming, just to know, so you know. And that's not what this facility is about, but we have put several traffic calming facilities. If you look at the mobility plan, I know it's kind of hard to read. There's a lot of traffic calming on these roads that are coming up. And you have helped us pay for some of that, just so you know. This board has paid. They're putting some of them out there right now.
I know at County District, Samuel Friedman County District Pot, we did a local initiative to do a sidewalk in front of it because it ended, and then kids were walking in soccer cleats without streetlights to try to get home, and that sidewalk project came out very well. And the thing is, too, is that GL Homes also owns land out here. There's insurance companies, and so this area is so quiet right now, but the impact of the surrounding communities may adversely impact the lifestyle of people, especially people who ride the horses on the edge of the road.
Yeah, that's why we're moving them off the edge of the road. But everything you said is exactly true. And that's why we actually got with the Regional Planning Council to help us with a mobility plan that considered all this future traffic. Again, we're hoping we're staying ahead of it. That's what our goal is here.
I see Fadi.
Yeah, to follow up what Jean asked, Indian Trail, DRI, I guess, do they use some of these roads to access their community? And what is the status of their DRI?
Are you talking about the GL Homes?
I don't know if they changed the names, Indian Trail.
Yeah, I think you're right. They're going to be located out here, just so you know. I mean, they're farther west of our community. But again, we know that they are part of the district. They are part of Indian Trails district. So they will be paving roads and things in this area out here. I have other maps, unfortunately, I didn't bring them with me, but can show this is Westlake in here. They're right at they're in the hole in the donut, as we used to call it. Then GL's over in this area, Avenir's up in this area. And as you said, you know, all these people are going to have more traffic onto us. That's why we're trying to make these mobility improvements happen as soon as we can to anticipate the future traffic.
Westlake was unincorporated county and it incorporated and it's got enough houses that it would be like a small city up north. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't remember how many houses there are, but it's a lot of density.
Yeah. But it is. I'm not going to say that the community that we are in endorsed that, but basically the fact of the matter is they're there. And obviously we're trying to work with what we've been helped, the hand we've been dealt, let's say that. So.
Marjorie, do we have any more comments? Questions?
No, Madam Chair.
I'm sorry. Fadi, okay. I do have really more of a comment. I know right now your community is more rural or suburban in nature, and you have lots of large yards. And putting in the subgrade with shell rock may work today, but as you grow and, for example, need bike lanes and things like that, one of the things that we've been using in our town in Jupiter is TrueGrid, which provides for drainage, but still provides the stability. You can either put in rock and it holds in place, or you can either grass it, because we've been using it in our open space properties for parking lots. So it's something, and it drains. It actually drains better than no development, than just, you know, grass, because it actually has layers gradations of aggregate. So just something to think about as you might move forward. It's also equivalent in costs as putting in asphalt.
Oh,
so, you know, just thinking about the future, trying to, and it's really simple to put in, but it's proprietary, but it's called TrueGrid. And it's actually been really good when we have very little space and not money for drainage.
That's a good information. We have used, and actually when we first started the mobility plan, we looked at something called a FlexiPave, which is ground up tires. It's a little different than what you're talking about. It is a little more expensive. You can get different colors in it and so forth. But I've used it as a pathway, multi-use path up in a town called Town of Sewell's Point. And it is like a sponge. It just absorbs that water. It's very good material. But again, we found that was a little more expensive than here, but certainly we're looking at TrueGrid. That's a very good suggestion. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Sure. Sure.
I believe we are good with questions, unless another member in person or that I don't see with their hands raised.
All right. Well, seeing none, thank you very much for your in-person presentation.
Thank you.
And the next and final presentation is the Village of Wellington.
So I believe we have Ryan Harding and Michael O'Dell from Wellington on the line.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you everyone for allowing us to present the village's C8 canal multi-purpose 10-foot pathway. As you said, Michael O'Dell, the assistant planning, zoning, and building director, is also on the line, and I believe our village engineer, Jonathan Reinsold, is also on the line.
And Ryan, I believe my staff gave you control. You may need to click a couple times and then you should be able to use the arrow keys to move forward and backward in the presentation.
Okay, I'm trying to click now. Okay, there it goes. Thank you. This is the Village of Wellington's current bicycle and pedestrian circulation plan. It was adopted by council in April 2016. This map depicts the existing and proposed bicycle, pedestrian, multi-purpose pathways around the village. The dashed orange line around the perimeter is a proposed multi-purpose pathway that would provide a continuous path around the majority of the village. The section highlighted in the blue oval is the subject of this application. It is a 1.4 mile, 10 foot pathway, multi-purpose pathway from Forest Hill Boulevard on the north to Stribling Way on the south, and is adjacent to the C8 canal. The path would also provide direct access to an existing park at Wellington Green Mall. The path is on the west side of Wellington. If you see if you go to the far western edge of Wellington where the dashed orange line is on Flying Cow Road, that pathway is almost completed now. So this pathway on the east side would be a first step in completing the east side multi-purpose pathway on the village. This shows a close-up of the location of the proposed pathway. As mentioned, it is approximately 1.4 miles and would connect to a sidewalk at Forest Hill Boulevard on the north and a multi-purpose pathway on Stribling Way at the south. it is also proposed to go around the perimeter of Wellington Green Park, as you see in the exhibit, and would provide access to the Wellington Green Mall and its existing Palm Tran Hub. Looking at some of the transportation alternative scoring criteria, it is a new 10-foot wide shared use path. It has a traditionally underserved index of 28%. It will create pedestrian and bicycle facilities within 1 mile of a transit hub. Provides a connection to a shopping center, which is the Wellington Green Mall, and the park that you saw in that we had in the previous exhibit. It is within 2 miles of 5 schools in the area, and their attendance boundaries would have positive environmental impacts by providing additional locations for alternative transportation modes. It has been endorsed locally by 2 organizations and is identified in Wellington's adopted bike and ped plan and would connect to existing and pr- proposed non-motorized facilities. This is a map showing the five schools in the area of the proposed pathway. You have Elbridge Gale on the north and Elbridge Gale Elementary. To the south, you have Polo Park Middle and Panther Run Elementary. And then to the east, you have Emerald Cove Middle and Equestrian Trails Elementary. Palm Beach Central is also in the area, but it's just beyond the 2 mile that are part of the scoring criteria. So it is centrally located within several schools in the area. The engineer's cost estimate, we're asking for around $552,000 and $176,000 would be local non-participating funds for a total of around $728,000. That cost includes clearing and grubbing, excavation, grading, base course, the asphalt for the 10-foot wide pathway, ADA ramps for the sidewalk, striping and signage, allowance for landscaping to be added, and then, as I mentioned, the local funds of around $176,000 for material testings and as-built and a contingency. And that is all I have, and we'll be happy to take any questions you might have for us. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. I don't see any raised hands in person. Oh, Gene. Oh, and Brian. Brian was first.
Thank you, Ryan. Is a crosswalk proposed at Striving Way?
It would actually tie into the existing pathway on Stribling Way.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, there's a pathway down on the just north of Stribling Way, so you wouldn't need to cross Stribling.
What is the length of the project?
The length north to south is 1.4 miles, and then there's also the additional area around the park. I'm not sure the area around the park, but from north to south, it's 1.4 miles.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Are there any virtual hands raised, Margie?
I don't see any, Madam Chair. I'm just clicking through just to make sure I'm not missing anybody. No, Madam Chair.
I think it's safe to say that we don't have any more questions. Okay. Thanks, Ryan. We're back on schedule.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Okay. So now that we've completed all of the presentations, what shall we do? Shall we discuss the order? And really there's two motions here that we just need to consider. One is the staff, TPA staffs, which is their recommendation is on page, their ranking is on page 15.
Yes, and I'm also gonna pull it up on the screen so everyone can see.
Oh, perfect, thank you.
Yes, hold on.
We discuss them in the order in which they were presented and have the PowerPoints available for discussion points.
Yes, my staff can pull up the presentations as needed. Alyssa was going to pull up the scoring. Is that okay?
Okay, so I will pull up the TPA scoring by project so we can see it. And then you guys tell me what you want to do, which of the two motions, if you would like to accept it as how we scored them, or if you would like to accept them if you would like to re-rank them and accept them that way.
Yeah, I think
I think we should have a little bit of discussion on those two motions. Do we agree with TPA staff with their ranking or not? And start there.
So the TPA scoring is on the screen.
Can you make sure your mic is on? That way your microphone, so the virtual attendees can hear you.
So I put the TPA scoring on the screen. And so you are aware it is ranked in the I ordered them in the way. So at the top is the project that scored the highest and the bottom is the project that scored the lowest. And what you see at the bottom is North Palm Beach, but that one, as we said earlier, was withdrawn. So you can ignore that and just look at the top four projects up here.
I guess I can't make a motion or decide on a motion. I want to hear everybody's thoughts. Everybody's going to bring something different to the table. And I think once we discuss each project individually, then we can make a motion.
I was trying to be a little efficient in trying to like segregate the two motions that are potentially here. One is, do we agree with TPA staff or do we want to go our own separate ranking? And that's really what's before us. So, and if we don't, and if maybe we can just understand if really, do you agree with TPA staff? And then we can discuss it. That's what I'm.
My point is that I'm a planner, but we have engineers in the room who would bring insight. And once I hear their opinion on a discussion on a project, my opinion of where it would be ranked might come in very differently. Like Brian asked, can a street sweeper be on the bike track? And I thought, wow, what insight. I would have never thought of that in 1,000 years. So I can't decide whether I like TPA ranking until we talk about it.
So then, okay. So what I'm understanding there is you want to go through a discussion and not address the potential motions. Is there anybody else who'd like to either talk about it as Jean is suggesting or give us your opinion one way or the other?
I generally would look at this in relationship to how I felt about the projects. And I think it would be helpful to see the scoring sheets, but I don't know if I would agree or not with like changing the scores per se. I think I would generally agree that if I were to rank the projects, they would probably fall in this line. I think the rank itself, if it behooves the committee, I think falls as such. So I don't know personally if the scoring sheets and having a discussion around the scores would do a lot, but that's just how I feel about the rankings currently. So I think Fadi's also.
Yes, I was going to say, Madam Chair, I have Fadi followed by Joanne.
Okay.
Yeah, I think what the reason for me to see the scoring sheet is to see where they get the point, not to rescore them. However, even if a project ranked based on the scoring higher than other, but I feel like one project may have way more use than other, for me, I will probably prioritize that project. So this is kind of what I thought the discussion would go.
Okay, I understand.
And then Joanne?
Similar comments to everyone else. Last year was my first time looking at the ranking, and it was very helpful for me to see the Excel sheet with all the scoring, just to use that as a baseline for my evaluation of the project, and to see, like Fadi said, where they achieved the points.
So I don't recall seeing the scoring sheets for each of them, and I don't believe like last year we did that. Did we receive them either? Last year for the individual projects
on how TPA staff ranked them. That is a great question. I believe we did, but I can open it up. I can pull this tab up. It is a lot to look at. So right. I will preface it like that.
Right.
We can look at it project by project and then I can hide the projects we've looked at already, if that's the best way to go about it.
Well, I'm just going to say what I'm thinking. Just like Brian, I mean, we've got And Gene, you said it at the very beginning. There's $3.3 million. The total of all of the applications is 3.5. And so all of them are going to get some sort of recommendation for funding. It's just that which one is really the number four. And that's really, you know, because then they're going to get the least amount of money. They're not going to get their full request. So I was just trying to look at how we could be efficient. I know that we also have a lot. This is our big thing of the year. So making sure we have a very good discussion on it is important.
I'm not saying talk about it for hours. I'm saying like 5 minutes per project, 20 minutes. At the end of the 20 minutes, we weigh in on how we feel.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to share my thinking of why I threw that out there.
Sure, so I can open up, yes. So this is the scoring for each project and we can go project by project. We can start with the El Rio lighting project. That's the first, that's column F and G that you see on the screen right now. Those two. So since that project did not get awarded any points for facility type, just because it wasn't providing any facility, it's just providing lighting. Mm-hmm. So let's scroll down. So it is not improving pedestrian facilities in a high crash corridor. So we did not award points for that. It is not providing bicycle facilities in a high crash corridor. Oops, sorry. So we did not award points for that. It is providing light, but it's not providing light in a dark or unlit crash location per our Vision Zero action plan. So it did not get points for that. Or improving pedestrian facilities in a tier one gap or tier one bicycle corridor. The median household income actually exceeds Palm Beach County median, so it did not award or get points awarded because of where the total or traditionally underserved population index falls. It was only awarded 1 point out of the total five. Scrolling down, it does not create dedicated pedestrian facilities within 1 mile of a transit hub since those facilities are already there. So it did not get awarded any points. The same with dedicated bicycle facilities. Again, it does go near a transit hub, but it's not providing any new facilities near there. So no points. It is a pedestrian connection within 1 mile of a shopping center, recreational center, and park. So we did award points for that. And it is within 2 miles of a school. So we did award points for that. So 5 points for each of those. It does improve facilities at an interchange for bicycles and pedestrians who are on the trail. So we awarded points for that. It does not have any positive environmental impacts. Since when we look at positive environmental impacts, we're really looking at mitigation activity, pollution prevention and abatement, stormwater management, tree canopy, pervious materials. It doesn't include any of that. And so no points there. It has not been tested as a pilot project, so no points for that. It was, it did get endorsed by various entities, including FAU, the City of Boca Raton Citizen Pedestrian and Bicycle Board, and a couple others, so it got points for that. It did not get points as being something that's identified in an adopted plan. And it has not, Boca Raton has not previously canceled a prioritized project that has been funded, so they did not lose points. So that is where we get 40 points from, or 41 points from, I'm sorry.
Madam Chair, I have Fadi with his hand raised.
Hi, Fadi.
Yeah, my comment on this is that, I mean, I'm gonna see it from a traffic perspective. If I have a facility that has certain capacity and I increase 30% of this capacity, is like I'm providing 30% new. So if this being used so many hours a day, and then I'm adding 5, 6, 7, 8 hours to it, for me, I'm providing the same type of facility there that didn't exist before. and being close to FAU, I think this is probably the only one. I mean, all the projects are great, especially the first one. I love to see a two-way bike in Palm Beach County. So at least we have a case, we can understand it and see how we can, you know. But this one, I felt the score does not really reflect a wonderful facility. It's going to be used way more than it is. And I'm sure it's going to be used by the location, by the quality of it. And I don't think the score really reflects the quality of this project.
I have Jean with her hand raised.
And Fadi, I have to totally agree what you're saying. I know my son was at FAU and sometimes his classes wouldn't get out till 9 at night. I know our planner one was reliant on the El Rio Trail and a bicycle and tri rail, or he couldn't go. There were three kids in college at the same time and the mom shared the same car. So it was either hoof it on the bike and tri rail or not get an education at FAU. This is going to allow students. And he even told me sometimes he rode at night. He goes, scariest thing is you can't see where you're going, even with a light on my bike. So I don't think the ranking is indicative of the project. I walk this area. I walk along the trail. It is so heavily used. We all know we need transportation for people to get to work, but you also got it, especially in COVID, we're all recognizing the benefits of biking and walking and mental health. So I would move this project up.
So I'm going to hop in very quickly and say, well, first of all, this is the reason why we have this conversation. The score sheet is subjective. So everything, I follow a formula and fill in the answers. So that's how we get the number. But again, we're having this conversation. So you guys do have the ability to re-rank. And with that, if you are choosing to go that route, I do want to, if you are going to re-rank, provide you with two methods to vote on that down the line. We can get there though, but I just want to encourage this conversation. So
you guys have to have a way that's completely, you know, unbiased and just there's a point, there's a method. And some of the presenters knew exactly the scoring sheet and they followed it. I write grants, I follow the scoring sheet, and that's how my presentations flow. So you can go down and rank it. But there's also the human element. So I appreciate what your staff, the staff does, and then our ability to weigh in.
Okay, well, that was helpful. I think that do you want to just continue to go through the next? So we're going to skip US 1 bridge and then go to.
Well, actually, I tried raising my hand like five times.
Oh, I'm so sorry, David. I'm not trying to ignore you. I don't see it on my screen. I'm sorry. David.
I don't have a raise hand function, so I have to hit alternate Y. It typically works, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's working today.
Okay. Feel free to interrupt next time.
Okay. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I think that unfortunately this project's being penalized because it's an existing facility and they're not getting points for the part that's existing. I completely agree with Fadi and Gene that it's going to be a heavily used project. There's a national movement to stay on daylight savings time. There's several other states that are doing it right now. Florida already did it. Eventually, the federal government's going to agree. And in the wintertime, that's going to make sunrise at 8:30, 9 o'clock. Kids walking to school and such at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning. That's going to be 2 hours before sunrise. So with lights, I think that would add additional function to this trail, something that's already existing. And Boca's agreed to take on almost $500,000 in costs themselves. So I do like this project also. I just wanted to add that comment. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments on City of Boca Raton?
I don't see any other hands raised, Madam Chair.
I'm glad, Jean, you brought this up because I didn't come in here with any, you know, preconceived notions of what it was, but after some of that discussion, that, you know, I can see the increased capacity. I personally, as a woman, wouldn't be riding down there after dark, no matter what, but I can see
being in college and doing it, or being with my friends and doing, you know, doing that kind of thing. And they're more likely to utilize transit and bicycles and get around. So yeah, I appreciate the insistence of the discussion. So the next one was Burns Road. Did you want to go through that, Elizabeth?
Yes, sorry. Okay, so the next one is the Burns Road Cycle Track Project. This was awarded, so I guess first it is, we're considering it since it is a cycle track and it is separated from other, from vehicle traffic. We put it as a separated bicycle lane, and because of the length, it was awarded 8 points for it being 0.8 miles. So again, how we get that is we multiply the 5 points by the mileage for the facility. So we are awarding, like I said, 8 points for the bicycle facility type. We are not awarding anything for pedestrian facility type because it is not providing one. Let's move down. It is not improving pedestrian facilities in a high crash pedestrian corridor, so no points for that. And it is not improving bicycle facilities in a high crash bicycle corridor, so no points for that. It is also not providing lighting in a darker unlit crash location per the Vision Zero action plan. And it is not improving a pedestrian facility, or yes, not providing a pedestrian facility to improve a tier one pedestrian gap. However, it is providing a bicycle facility that improves a tier one bicycle gap. So we are awarding 5 points for that. We are also going to be awarding 3 points because of the median household income in the area. And we are going to be awarding 3 points for the traditionally underserved population index. We did not award points for it connecting pedestrian facilities to a transit hub, but we did award points for a bicycle facilities connecting to transit hub. And you see, I do have a note there. They did mark yes in the application, but it's not providing a pedestrian facility, so we did not give points for that. But we did give them the points for the bicycle facility. So we did, again, award points because it is a, the next one is bicycle or pedestrian project within 1 mile, or bicycle or shared use path project is within 3 miles and provides a connection to shopping center or recreational trails or recreational center or park. So because of that, we are awarding 5 points because, again, bicycle facility. We are also awarding 5 points because the project is within 2 miles of a school and within its school attendance boundary. We are not awarding points because although the project goes very close to the railroad tracks, as we saw in the presentation, it's not actually improving any facilities at the railroad tracks. The project stops just short of that. So we did not award points for that. It is not having a positive environmental impact. Again, it's not touching on mitigation, pollution prevention, stormwater, tree canopy, pervious material, so no points. And it has not been tested with a pilot project. The project has been endorsed by various entities, so we did award 5 points. And then again, we awarded 5 points because it is in the agency's adopted mobility plan. And then again, the applicant did not pull a project that was prioritized for funding, so they did not lose 5 points. So they're at a total of 56 points for this project.
Are there any comments or discussion on this item? I see Jean.
The only thing, and I like the idea of a two cycle, only thing that concerns me a little bit is the 1.5, and I'd like Fadi's input on this, the 1.5 foot wall between the bikes and JC and the traffic. For me, I'm wondering if I would run into that and flip over the edge. should the wall be higher, or is this something that's done in Europe, or
isn't it just a, isn't it a curb?
Yes. So I do want to say, you know, I hope it's okay for me to say that the 1.5 foot separator is not 1.5 feet tall. It's the width of the separator. The height would probably be the same as a 6-inch curb.
Brian?
We have facilities which are very similar that are one way in Palm Beach County. West Palm Beach has proposed a similar type of treatment on the waterfront on Flagler Drive near the southern city limits. This is something that is new to this area of the country, but we do have two-way cycle tracks in Florida. Tampa, I believe Jacksonville has one. Titusville had one for a very short time. I'm not sure if it's still there or not. It might have been a pilot project. The main concern, I think, in trade-offs with those is where the cycle tracks are kind of skinnier. This one is a narrower cycle track, is the height of the curb and making sure that your pedal won't clip it because they're only 4 feet on either side. But generally, because you're separated from traffic, it's a lot more comfortable. And it's I think it's rare for someone to hit the curb and to fly into traffic. Even with the separators that we have, that hasn't been a very large concern, or I haven't heard any crashes in that particular manner in this area. So if that helps answer the question.
And I have Craig and but Fadi may want to.
What is the posted speed on Burns Road?
Is it okay for me to answer that? No. I believe it's 35 miles per hour.
She said.
Yeah. Again, I think, 30 or 35 miles an hour, it's not the same as, you know, when you're riding your bike next to 40 or 45 miles an hour. Now, again, I don't know the exact characteristics of this roadway and what issues they have, but I know they are successful two-way bike lane in the nation. Other places they've used it. And I think the only way to kind of know how it's going to best operate in Florida is to implement one and, you know, learn from it and fine tune it. I mean, if something needs to be changed, can be changed. But I think the idea is, you know, a lot of, you see more and more of them because I think people like them. They provide certain, it's slightly different than when you have a bike lane on the edge of the road. However, the facility need to be adequate for that. And I didn't exactly look, you know, about the drivers and everything here. But if it's appropriate, it'd be nice to have at least one facility in Florida that we can learn from.
Sorry, my mic was off. I have Craig with his hand raised.
Okay, Craig.
Hi, everyone. I just have a question about that score for the first one, the bicycle facility. The length of the project seems to be 0.8 miles. However, the score ends up at 8. If we're multiplying it, shouldn't it be a 4, or am I understanding that incorrectly?
No, it should be an 8. Because, hold on. So when we did the math, it came out as 8 because we had to double it. Hold on. Well, so it's, yes, it goes in each direction, but it's only on one side of the road. My mistake. I should have just clicked this. You were correct. It's because it's going in each direction. So we multiplied 0.8 by 1.6 or by 2. So we got 1.6 and then multiplied 5 by that because yes, each direction. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
I just, you know, I go this in this area frequently. It's mostly local traffic, and there's a lot of community use because of the recreation area there. But because there's a lot of east-west cut-throughs between alternate A1A and military, it's not a main route that people go through because people know that it's a little bit slower than some of the other roads that you could cut over to get to alternate A1A or to military either way. So it just doesn't seem as trafficked as other places like, you know, Donald Ross or Frederick Small or even some of the ones a little bit further south. So I think it's a really good innovative idea for us to look at a good location and see if it works. And it connects two major roads. I mean, there's a lot of residential in that area, but like Brian, there is a lower income neighborhood to the east on the end of the across the other side of alternate A1A, which I can see that being used. So that's going to be a really critical crossing for those residents to come across and get to the community center, because then they have that fabulous water park and everything there that, you know, I a lot of people take that route. So just my thoughts. I thought it was a good project.
No, and that's exactly the kind of input that I was looking for in the discussion, is that, you know, that there's a water park there, which I wouldn't have known because I live in the south end of the county. What's the difference other than two-way traffic between this and a multi-purpose path?
So this, the biggest difference is that there's a physical separator on both sides of the facility, so that like this is a space that's only for bikes. Pedestrians aren't in there. Motor vehicles aren't in there. There's a separator between it.
Separator.
It depends on the design. I think the design for this project was just a concrete. It was like a curb.
Another thing just to add is that the facility doesn't mix bicycle and pedestrians together, whereas a shared use path, you put, you know, people walking and people biking on a 10-foot wide facility. This exclusively provides travel space for pedestrians outside of the bike lane.
Great. Is there any other comments on Palm Beach Gardens project? No? Okay. David? Just asking.
Nope, no comments.
Okay. So Alyssa, I don't know, the next one is the...
I have Wellington on here.
Wellington,
I think, okay. Indian Trail is hidden right now and for some reason, and I need to unhide that. Okay. Yes, let's go through Wellington while I work on unhiding this. Sorry about that. Unhide. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we'll start at the top. So Wellington is providing a 10-foot plus or 10-foot shared use path that is 1.39 miles. So again, what we did to get this is we multiplied the 5 points for a shared use path by 1.39. So we got 6.95. And that is what they're awarded for the facility type. Let me scroll down a little bit. Okay. The project improves or does not improve pedestrian facilities in a high crash corridor. So no points there. It did not improve bicycle facilities in a high crash corridor. So it did not get awarded points there either, or the same thing for dark and unlit crash locations, no points. Then it did not improve pedestrian facilities in a tier one pedestrian gap or improve bicycle facilities in a tier one bicycle corridor. It exceeded the minimum or median household income, so it got 0 points. However, it did get 3 points for traditionally underserved population index. It also got 5 points for creating dedicated pedestrian facilities within 1 mile of the transit hub. So for everyone to know, the transit hub is located at Wellington Green, or the mall at Wellington Green, rather. So it gets points for that. And again, since a shared use path is both a facility for pedestrians and bicyclists, it is getting awarded 5 points for creating dedicated bicycle facilities within 3 miles of a transit hub. And it is getting 5 points because, again, it is a pedestrian facility and a bicycle facility that is within both 1 and 3 miles of a shopping center, the mall, and a recreational center or park, which is being highlighted and part of the project. Then the project is within 2 miles of a school and within its school boundary, so it was awarded 5 points for that. It was not awarded any points because it does not improve facilities at an interchange, bridge, railroad crossing, or a signalized intersection. The project limits were between two roadways and did not cross an intersection. It was not awarded points because it does not have environmental impacts, or at least the ones that we are, again, looking at. So that's the mitigation activity, pollution prevention and abatement, stormwater management, tree canopy coverage, and impervious materials. It was not awarded points because, or for being a pilot project, because it was not a pilot project. It was awarded 5 points for being endorsed by members of the benefit area. And it was awarded 5 points for being a part of the village's adopted bicycle and master circulation plan, or circulation master plan. It was not deducted any points for being or having a previously canceled project. So we end up with a total of 53 points for this project.
Okay, so I don't see any hands raised here in person. Oh, Brian.
Have we seen this project before? I feel like we have.
I feel like we have too, but
PA project. Ryan, do you, how many times have you come before us with this one?
No, we haven't, not specifically at this location. We've done other multi-use paths that are part of the overall plan, but not at this location.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
We also have David with a hand up.
Wonderful, you got it that time. I like this project. I don't think as many people would use this as the project in Boca. I kind of wonder if they may be able to do something, you know, with the remainder of the funds that could be left. I'd be responsive if anybody else is open to possibly reordering this with the Boca project. That's all I have to say.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I have Fadi with his hand raised.
Fadi.
Yeah, I'm open to reorder as mentioned.
So is there anybody else who, so that would make, so we're looking at City of Palm Beach Gardens and then Boca being the second item?
Yes.
Okay. And then third would be Indian Trails and fourth is Village of Wellington. Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. And I'd like to discuss them all before we re-rank.
Okay. I just kind of had this set up in my head all along, but yeah, absolutely. definitely continue discussion, continue to the last item.
No, and I agree with you about the re-ranking and the more use and things like that. I mean, this is a good project too. It's hard. The great thing is we're only short $250,000.
Right, right, I agree.
Right. Yeah, and then if we went with that ranking, then Indian Trails would, their request would be reduced by half. Oh, wait, is that right? No, depending on the rank.
Correct. No, Wellington would be reduced by half.
Oh, I'm sorry, I wrote it down wrong. Okay. All right. So we have one more to...
Yes, so we have one more to go through. That is Indian Trails Improvement District. I can start that now. We have it up. Okay, so this project did not provide or is not proposing any bicycle facilities, so it's not getting any points for there. However, it is proposing 4 foot, 4 foot plus of an unpaved pathway, and it's 3.5 miles of that, of a 10 foot unpaved path. So we are awarding, we multiplied and got 4 points because again, that's the max is 2 miles. So with that being 3.5, we had to max out as 2 times 2. So 4. and for the sidewalk or shared use path widenings, it is taking again 3.5 miles of a 5 foot existing sidewalk and expanding that to be an 8 foot paved path. So it's getting awarded 2 points for that. There are, so the project does not improve pedestrian or bicycle facilities within a high crash corridor. So no points for either of those. The project does not improve light or provide lighting in a darker unlit crash location. So no points for that. The project does not improve pedestrian facilities in a tier 1 pedestrian gap. So no points. The project does not improve bicycle facilities in a tier 1 bicycle corridor. So again, no points for that. The median household income exceeds the Palm Beach County one, so no points. However, we did award points because of the, we awarded 2 points for the traditional underserved population index. For project creates dedicated pedestrian facilities or bicycle facilities within for pedestrian 1 mile or bicycle 3 miles of a transit hub, no points for either of those. We did award 5 points for the pedestrian project is within 1 mile or bicycle or shared use path project is within 3 miles and provides a connection to a shopping center or recreational center or park. So this project is within 1 mile of a park, as we heard during the presentation. So it is being awarded points for that. The project is also within 2 miles of a school and within its school attendance boundary, so we did award points for that. However, the project does not improve facilities at an interchange per se, so we did not award points for that. This project did get awarded points, 10 points, for project has positive environmental impacts. That is because this project includes stabilization and bioswales and also includes storm pipe drainage and bedding stone and grass. So we did award points for environmental. And this project was not tested as a pilot project, so we are not awarding points. However, it was endorsed by various entities out in the benefit area. So we awarded 5 points. And again, we awarded 5 points because it is identified in the district's mobility plan. And again, the applicant has not canceled a previously prioritized project within the last 12 months. So they are not being deducted any points. So we are ending up with a total of 52 points on this project.
No, I'm glad that Indian Trails has a mobility plan. All of a sudden they have Westlake with, you know, I don't remember if it's 20 or 30,000 people. And then GL Homes has the ability to do more people. I don't know whether they'll move forward. And then there's kind of a hole in the donut with more people.
And I'm glad they're doing the gravel to accommodate the horses. Kind of feel bad for this community. I work with people who live here, and it's been a quiet, sleepy equestrian community forever. And now all of a sudden they're surrounded by residential. That being said, you know, there might be a way to rank the projects and have award them funding, but maybe not 100% of the funding, so they can do like 2 miles instead of 4 miles. I don't know.
I have a body.
Body.
I guess there seems to be consensus that Palm Beach Garden and Boca need to be funded. I think the discussion right now is which one has more merit, Wellington or Indian Trail.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And I have Brian, JC and Brian with 10 cards up.
So this is my first time with the scoring, so sorry for any confusion. I was just wondering about the total number. So based on the values that you gave it, does it add up to 52? Is there a multiplier somewhere else that I'm missing?
Collected through using the formula. So we can go through and add all these numbers up, but it is, see the formula up here. So you went down and you added all the points up when we were going through?
Is there a multiplier? So do you multiply everything by 2?
Sorry. So we only multiply the bicycle facility type and the pedestrian facility type by 2, okay, depending on the mileage. We don't multiply anything else under there, just the what's in the what category.
Okay. So did that come up to 38? But just as a side note, I've ridden the El Rio Trail at night, and it definitely, the lighting there could benefit that facility, because you never know what's living under the bridges. There's a lot of iguanas that are there, so animals running out in front of you, and just overall safety of, you know, what's dwelling under bridges and stuff. So I think that's a really good project. I've also ridden out in Wellington. So those trails, the equestrians and gravel riding is becoming very popular out there. So there's a lot more cyclists that are actually using the gravel trails through Wellington. So I think both of those projects are really interesting.
Okay. So I do want to go back and look at this formula, because if you add all of them up, it does come out to 38.
Okay.
So Madam Chair, while she's looking at that, we do have other 10 cards that were up. Sorry, I had Brian, Jean, Fadi. Oh, just show you. So Brian, then Jean.
I think all of the projects have their own merits and really good things about them. With respect to Wellington, I know that it's really difficult to get these types of facilities in, and you have to kind of fit them in wherever you can. So I really appreciate it. And they have the ability to do trails on canals and more so than other areas in the county. And so I really appreciate them providing this type of facility. If you look at, I think, next year's scoring sheet, they would probably score even better and be ranked higher compared to this year. So if however it shakes out today, I think they should definitely come back if this project isn't funded. With respect to Indian Trails Improvement District, I agree. I mean, it wasn't an equestrian community. It's kind of now surrounded by single family homes, and it's getting gobbled up more and more, it seems like, by the day. One of the benefits I appreciate from Indian Trails Improvement District is their stake in the game. They're throwing the most money into this project out of any of the communities, I think with the biggest match ratio as well. So I really feel like they've got a vested interest in this commitment into their mobility plan. And I mean, their slide, they had 10 miles of improvements in their community, which I mean, the likes of which I haven't seen in for one scoring year cycle in a long time. So they've really committed to their mobility plan and their improvements. So both projects are good. Both projects have merit. I don't know which I don't know what we should do, but it's a hard decision.
I have Jean with her 10 card out.
I live east and I don't get out to Welling that often, but I want to say that for me, since COVID hit, I used to go to the Y most nights, and now I walk several nights a week with girlfriends, and we do the Patch Reef, like El Rio Library and all of that. And it's really great. My question is, I like both projects. I mean, it's kind of looking like Palm Beach Gardens 1, Boca 2, and then Village of Wellington or Indian Trails could be 3 or 4, like sliding back and forth. But which one is going to get more use? Because I know for me, if I lived in Wellington, I would park in the park, I'd walk the periphery of the park, and then I'd walk up and down that trail till I hit my 4 miles, and then I'd go home probably. And yeah, I mean, just which one serves more people, I guess.
That's a great point. Thank you, Jean.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's good to look at the map to see between those two. I mean, Indian Trail goes back to the evolution of cities and towns and rural becoming suburban and eventually more urban. And if you don't get the path in now, you may not get it for a really long time. And they don't have really anything. I mean, I don't know. Sterling is, in terms of Wellington, Sterling is a parallel road to this C8 canal trail. And the facilities on Sterling, are they adequate? Do they have bike paths and pedestrian facilities on Sterling, which is a parallel route? I don't know, JC, if you go down, if you live in this area, if you've done either of those, but.
I have ridden them. I live in South County, but we do ride up in Wellington a lot. I don't know that area that well to say.
Yeah, so it's, I mean, Fadi, do you comments?
You know, my perspective, they're really both good projects, but I think there is a little bit more urgency for Indian Trail to preserve their way. This one is next to a canal. We can do it maybe the following year. Or they can get some money right now to plan for it. But I think they're both valid, but Indian Trail has more urgency in my perspective.
Does anybody else have comments? Anyone?
I had Michael Owens with his hand raised, but I stepped away and he may have lost patience with me and put his hand down. I also have Jean, you have your tent card up, but okay.
Michael. Yeah, I did for a second. I honestly, I've been kind of mulling all of these projects over as well. But, and I was thinking about, you know, usage. I did like all four. I did like the Boca project, but I had it lower because I thought that honestly more people would utilize the Village of Wellington's project. I mean, the scoring is what it is, but, I just thought that maybe the Village of Wellington's application would be more impactful. And not living in Boca, I was, you know, looking at an aerial of the Boca Rio Trail or how to get to it. I'm sorry, not Boca Rio Trail. The El Rio Trail. And I guess if I, you know, forever I'm in Boynton Beach, I guess to get to it, I'd either have to, you know, I don't know if there's a facility to, like, even if you wanted to walk or just drive to it, to park it and utilize it. It just seemed like its start point on Glades was kind of you know, just there and an endpoint along Congress. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. I mean, I think all four of them were good projects. I just thought to me, you know, I thought the Boca project, you know, would be maybe third, if not fourth. But I did have Village of Wellington a bit higher. And I think Palm Beach Gardens, I had as number one, just in my mind, you know, just kind of, you know, doing it in my mind. That's the way I had them kind of ranked. That's all.
Jean.
You know, I don't know, after all this talk, I don't know if we've kind of reached a consensus. Palm Beach Gardens 1, Boca 2, Indian Trails 3, and Village of Wellington 4 is kind of what I'm hearing from everybody.
Anybody
else? You would like to make that a motion?
I want to see if I'm hearing, interpreting people right. Yeah, let's make it. That would be my motion. That's the way I think people are leaning, I'm willing to support.
And for clarification for myself, Madam Chair, if you don't mind, the motion is for Palm Beach Gardens as 1, Boca 2, Indian Trail as 3, and Wellington as 4?
Correct.
Okay, and it was by Jean and second by David?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, thank you guys.
And so the motion is to reorder the recommendation of ranking. To vary from the TPA staff, as motioned by Jean and seconded by David.
Yes, and we can pull it up on the screen as well with your rankings. That way everyone's clear before we take a roll call vote, unless there's more discussion.
I just have one question. I'm just trying to justify in my head. I mean, from a practical standpoint, I don't disagree with the ranking at all, but I'm wondering if median household income, if there could be any, there are students that live in dorms on FAU. So I'm just wondering if any of that calculation of their household income is part of that, because I don't think they got any points related to serving, median income below the county. So I think in reality, the answer is yes, that they are, because of where they are in life. They just don't have jobs and things like that. So I think that really starts to justify adding points to Boca in order to raise their ranking up for me. But I'm in support of the motion.
Jean, did you have more questions or discussion? Your tent card's up, that's what I'm asking.
Are we ready for the roll call?
I believe so. I just want to make sure I'm not missing hands here.
Okay.
I think we're good. Okay, so you are ready for roll call vote, Madam Chair?
Yes.
Oh, can I just one point? Having this discussion changed the rankings in my mind. Hearing what other people had to say.
Thank you, Jean. I appreciate your candor.
Okay, so the motion on the floor is to recommend adoption of the 2021 TA program project application rankings with Palm Beach Garden in first, the City of Boca Raton second, Indian Trail Improvement District third, and Wellington, the Village of Wellington as fourth. I had a motion by Jean and a second by David. So those that are present virtually, if you can make sure to unmute yourselves when I call your name, and then those in person, just make sure to hit the base and either state yes or no when I call your name. JC Berry?
Yes.
Ted Goodenough is absent. David Willock?
Yes.
Jean Matthews?
Yes.
Yash Nagal?
Yes.
Fadi Nassar?
Yes.
Michael Owens?
Yes.
Joanna Peluso?
Yes.
Craig Pinder?
Yes.
Ryan Harding?
Yes.
John Roach? I'm sorry, he's absent. That was my fault. I'm sorry. John Roach is absent. Brian Ruscher?
Yes.
Joanne Scaria?
Yes.
Stephanie Thoburn?
Yes.
The City of Boca Raton is vacant, so they will be marked as absent. And the Boca Raton Bicycle Club is vacant, so they will be marked as absent, and it passes unanimously, Madam Chair.
And can I just ask that as part of our motion that it be stated as to why we rank them differently than staff. It has more to do with increased capacity of the actual trail of the Boca, lighting project, and also increasing that for the ranking based on median household income, so that, you know, because I know.
So, Madam Chair, I'm sorry, as a point of order, once you guys vote and the motion passes, the discussion on the item does need to end. So I can amend, I can add in language as to why you're supporting or opposing. I'm just stopping you guys before you get too deep into discussion. And you're in violation of Robert's rules.
No, I just want to make sure that the minutes reflect our discussion and it's clear.
That's clear why that's you re-ranked the way you did. Yes. We'll make sure that it's clear. And then these minutes will be included on the next BT PAC agenda for May. So again, if there's any revisions or if we don't make it clear enough, please feel free to either send us the corrections ahead of time or you can make them during the meeting.
Okay, great. Okay, so thank you for everyone putting up with me for my first official day as chair. If we have no other discussion, can I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Thank you.
I thought you did a great job, Stephanie.
That's very good. Very good.
Thank you, everyone.
You should never leave.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it. We'll see you all May 6th.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Take care, everyone. Have a good one.